Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Yud Zayin. We're holding the third line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara says, "Gufa Rav Amr Ishtabish Kahani Ushmul Amr Loy Ishtabish Kahani." So we already began talking about this at the end of yesterday's daf, and this is going to Mir Tashem occupy us for the next 10 or 15 minutes. A fascinating encounter or a historical account of what happened at the time of the beginning of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, where Chagai HaNovi was fehering. He was testing the Kohanim to see if they knew the halachas. After all, the Beis HaMikdash had been Chorev for 70 years, and Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara had declined in terms of everybody knowing each and every detail. So, he wanted to make sure the Kohanim knew what was going on. So if you go back again to the Gemara on Tes Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara quoted the last four lines of the Pasuk in Chagai. Bushtin Pasuk. Chagai Hanovi asked the Kohanim, "Hein Yisa Ish Psar Koidish Bechnaf Bigdai." If a person is holding on to carrying Psar Koidish sounds like Kodshim. However, Rashi says this is actually referring to a dead sheretz, based on a Pasuk in Melachim. So if a person were carrying such a dead sheretz, Bechnaf Bigdai, in the corner of his garment, v'noga b'knofoy, and then after that he took that and he touched. Now the way we learned this yesterday is like Rav will learn shortly today. That doesn't mean that he took the actual corner of the garment and touched the lechem, but rather what was hidden inside the corner of the garment, i.e., we're referring to the sheretz itself. So if a person were to take the sheretz and to touch lechem, and the lechem were to touch nozid is a stew, like we had nizid adoshim by Yaakov and Esav, the elayin, and then the nozid would touch the wine, the el hashemen, the el shemen, and then the wine would go and touch the oil, or the el kol machel, or any other food item, hayikdosh, would it become kodesh? In other words, would it become tamei? And the Kohanim said, "Loi, it would not." What exactly was the question? What was the answer? As we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, Amachloikis Rav in Shmuel, the way we learned Rav yesterday, as we'll see in a moment, Rav said once again he took the sheretz and he touched the lechem. We all know that a sheretz has a din of an av hatumah. So if the sheretz touched the lechem, anybody have any idea what the lechem would become? A Risha in the Tumah. Thank you, Brother Shai. So now the Risha touches the Nozid, and the Nozid is going to become now a Sheini L'Tumah. And now the Nozid is going to touch the Yayin, and the Yayin is going to become a Shlishi L'Tumah. And the Yayin touches the Shem, and the Shem is going to become a Revi L'Tumah. What was Chagai's question? The question was, because when it comes to Chulin, as we've said a number of times, Chulin, the buck stops after a Sheini. Chulin cannot be Matame Shlishi. By Truma, it goes to a Shlishi. It's by Kodshim that Chagai was fehering them and saying, "Tell me, what's the rule by Kodshim? Does it go to Revi?" And the Kohen said, "No, come now, Revi, I've gone. It doesn't go. No, I wouldn't go to Revi, after all. Chul is a Sheini, Trum is a Shlishi. No, I wouldn't go to Revi."
They talk like that, huh?
Exactly. And what did Rav say? Ishtabish Kahani, the Kahana made a boo-boo. Because by Kodshim it does go to Revi. And they said it doesn't go. Loi. So that's what the Gemara said on the top. The Omer Rav, top of the Omid. Ishtabish Kahani, the Kahani made a mistake. So, we go now to the third line. Gufa Rav Omar Ishtabish Kahani. The Kahana made a mistake in their response to the Chagai's test. Ushmul Amar lo yishtabish. They did not make a mistake. So now let's see what the question was. Lo yishtabish kahani. What was not the mistake? Start again. Rav Omar yishtabish kahani. Revi b'kodesh boi minay. Well, that's what we just explained. That you started off with the sheretz touching the lechem, the nozid, the yain, the shemen. Shemen is revi. They said loy, it's not holy. V'amrulei, and they said, Nachmul, Ishtabish Kahani, Revi B'Kodesh Boy Minayu. He asked them the question, what about by Kodeshim, does it go to Revi? V'amrulei, and they said, Loi, which means they said, Tohar, that's a big boo-boo, that's a mistake, because by Kodeshim it does go to Revi. Ushmul amaloyish tabish kahani. Shmuel said, no, they did not make a mistake, because chamishi bakoidish boy munayu. He asked them about a chamishi. V'omrulei, and they said tohar. Well, that's correct. Everybody agrees that this only goes until Revi. It doesn't go until the Chamishi. So the question was not about Revi. The question was about Chamishi. And they said, Loi. And then Rav said, Baruch Hashem, you all got the answer right. So now the Gemara, of course, wants to figure out, where's their Chamishi here? So we start again. According to Rav, that said that the Feher, the test, the Bechina, was on a Revi, then I understand that there are four food items enumerated in the pasuk. We got the lechem, the nozid, the yayin, and the shemen. And therefore, shemen is going to be number four. That was the question. They goofed and they said, loy, it doesn't become tameh, and that's why Rav said, ishtabish kahani. El Shmuel, chamish min olay. Where do we find five? There are only four enumerated in the pasuk. Maybe you have the answer. And Dr. Gemara, Miksev, Venoga Knofai, Venoga Biknofai Ksev, Vameshenoga Biknofai. What does the Gemara mean to say? How did we start off with the four? We said that the sherets touched the lechem and the lechem touched the nozit. No! We had a situation where first the sherets touched the kanaf bigdoi, the beged, his jacket, his coat, his toga, whatever he was wearing, and now that beged touched the lechem, and the lechem touched the nozit, and the nozit touched the yayin, and the yayin touched the shemen. Since we add one more, we added the kanaf bigdoi in between, we got five.
What about the person wearing the jacket?
We're not what, whether or not he's tummy or not wasn't the question that was posed. You are now asking your own test, and you're entitled to go and make your own test. No problem. But that was not part of Chagai's test. Okay. You want to know what would be the status of the person himself. If the person himself touched the sheretz, he would become tummy. Because a sheretz, being an avatumma, is metame not only oichlin amashkim, but also odam bekev. But that wasn't part of the feher. The feher was only on the food items. The reason the food items, because we have to know in the base of Mikdash, what becomes tummy, what doesn't become tummy, because they deal with all types of different foods. Mainly with, of course, the kabbanis, but the kabbanis also includes lechem. You have all the lachme toide. Nozim means you can go and cook the food items. The yayin v'shemen, of course, nisach yayin, nisach, and the shemen is used in the menachis. So these are all things used in the base of Mikdash. We got to know, are they tummy or not? Anyway, so getting back to our case of here. So Shmuel said, Miksiv v'noga knofai. It's v'noga biknofai ksiv. In other words, Rav, assumed noga knofai means that you took what was in the kanaf abeged, which was the sheretz, and you took that and you touched the lechem. No. V'noga biknofai ksiv. That what? B'meh shenoga biknofai. You start off with the sheretz touched the knaf beged, and therefore that was the rishon. And now the Kanaf Begin makes the Lechem into a Shaini, Nozit into a Shlishi, Yayin into a Revi, and therefore Shmuel said that Chagai asked, Raboisai, I know that you know that Kochim goes to Revi, but does Kochim also go to a Chamishi? And to that they said, no! Said Shmuel, you get 100. Or said Chagai, you get 100, because they got the question right. Lemaisa, there is no machloikis and halacha between Rav and Shmuel. Both of them agreed that kodshim you can be metame till a Ravi and not to a chamishi. The only machloikis is the historical account of what happened at the time of the test, where the Chagai was asking them about a Ravi and they got it wrong, or did he ask about a chamishi and they got it right? Okay. Toshima, let's try to bring a raya now as to who is right, Rav or Shmuel. And we go now to the next pasuk in Chagai. The first pasuk that we quoted is a pasuk in Chagai Beis Yud Beis. Now we're going to Chagai Beis Yud Gimel. And if you want, those of you that have the Torah or HaShalem, it's on either the right or the left-hand side. It's either Ois 2 or Ois Beis. And it says, Bayoymer Chagai, Im Yigat Me Nefesh B'chol Eile, Hayitma. What Chagai is saying is, until now I asked you about a sheret. Let's now talk about a tmei nefesh. Tmei nefesh means, chas v'sholom, a person who touched a corpse. Not that the person, we're not talking about the mess himself. We're talking about a tamei mess. A tamei nefesh means someone that became tamei by touching a corpse. It doesn't mean he actually touched it. It could also be in an oil a mess. It could be it was malal a mess. But the point is that he became tamei because of a mess. Okay. If he got b'chol eil, if he would touch all of the aforementioned items, the lechem and the nozit, etc., ha yitma, would it become tamei? It comes tamei. So in the first test they said loy. The second test they said yah. They said yitma, it would become tamei. The obvious question is, what's the difference between the first and the second? Okay, the first pasuk is talking about a sheretz. The second pasuk is talking about a tamei mess. But bottom line is, a sheretz is an avatumah, a tamei mess is an avatumah. Why did they change their answer? That the first time they said somebody has a gesundheit, somebody should please put themselves on mute. Thank you very much, David. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Nachamul. So Gemara says, Toshima v'yoymer chagai, em yigat v'nefesh b'chol eile hayitma, v'yanu akyan v'yoymeru yitma, es bishloima lishmuel, merahacha lo yishtabish, hasem nami lo yishtabish. So according to Shmuel, before we get to Shmuel, look at the answer in the pasuk. The answer was, they said, yes, it would become tameh. That's the correct answer. Let's assume we're talking about according to Rav. The Rav asked what happens to a revi bakoidish by a sheretz, and they said loy, it does not become tameh. And Rav says ishtabish, they made a mistake. In this second pasuk, they answered correctly. They said that if it would be a case of a tameh nefesh, and you have again the same Rishon, Sheni, Shlish, Revi, and they said it becomes Tamei. Yes, they were correct. We will assume, says the Gemara, that since on this second pasuk they answered correctly, they said Yitma, yes, it becomes Tamei. It's Hasam Nami Lo Yishtabish. So probably in the first pasuk they also answered correctly. In other words, we're assuming that they got 200s on the two tests. El Rav, Maishna Hachad Yishtabish, Maishna Hasam the Lo Yishtabish. According to Rav, why is it in the first pasuk that they goofed and they said Lo Yitma, that it will not become Tamei? And the second pasuk they said that it would become Tamei. Is that logical? In other words, the assumption is that if they are sufficiently scholarly, that they know the answer to the question in the second pasuk, presumably they would know the answer in the first pasuk. According to Shmuel, this is perfect, because Shmuel says they scored 100 in both tests. Both in the first test, talking about the case of the sheretz, where the question was, would there be a din of a chamishi bakoidish? And they said, no, chulila, there's no chamishi. Why was it chamishi? Because we had the sheretz and the kanafa begin and the four items. So we started off with av, and then we got to rishon all the way to chamishi. And they said, loy. And Shmuel said, yes, they answered correctly. Here in the second pasuk, we only had a case of revi, because he was talking about a tamei nefesh touched b'cholela. I didn't have a tamei nefesh with an intervening kanaf bigdai. I had the Gemara asked, Chagai asked, and he got tamei nefesh, if a person is tamei mess, he's an av. If he touches b'chol eila, the lechem and the nozit and the yain and the shaman, so then you're ending up at revi. And they said, yeah, revi, sure, revi b'koidish avada, it's tamei. So says the Gemara, according to Shmuel, the first time when they answered loy, they were right, because he asked him about a chamishi, and the second time in the second pasuk he asked about a revi, and they said tamei. They got both questions right. But according to Rav, that both the first pasuk and the second pasuk are talking about a revi in Bekoidish. The only difference is that the first pasuk is talking about a sheretz, and the second pasuk is talking about tamei mess. How come they got the answer right the first time, and they did get the answer right the second time? We just started the first wide line on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So Rav Nachman gave a very simple teretz. When it comes to Tumas Mes, that everybody is terrified about Chachmon Letzlan, a person passed away. The pasuk begins in Parshas Emor, Emor al Kehanim b'nei Aharon, v'yamar talayim l'nefesh l'yitama be'amav. They're not allowed to be metame to a mess, chas v'sholem. Ki im l'sheira karaveilav, unless they have a very close family member that passed away. Of the imay achim achoyze, yah. But otherwise, you're not going to be metame. So this is, for the Kehanim, this is, you know, Aviyah Voisatoma, literally getting chasashom, getting tome, and getting next to a mess. So therefore, they were very scrupulous, meticulous, careful. However, by Tshuma Sharetz, no. After all, you got millions of shrotzim that die every single day, and it's not, you know, it's not a very pleasant situation, especially if you step on it. But Lamaisa, they didn't know the Tshuma Sharetz, they weren't bucky in that. So that's why they got the second question right, and they got the first question wrong. Ravina Omar, Ravina says I have a different pshat altogether. Hossam Ravi, the first time they got it wrong because he asked him about a Ravi. The second pasuk they got it right because he asked about a Shlishi, Hocha Shlishi. Now how did we come that it was a Shlishi? The Chayit should be the exact same thing as the first pasuk. So Rashi explains the reason why the second pasuk is Shlishi is because they went and touched the... He's talking about that the not we're referring to a tmei mess, we're referring to the mess itself. The Lashon HaPasuk says, V'yemechagai im yiga tmei nefesh. Excuse me. We until now assumed that we were talking about an avatuma, meaning a person who got in contact with a mess, Rachman Litzlan, where the mess is the Avi Avoisatoma, the person that touched it is an Avatoma, and then we have the four going in a row, we have the Lechem Nozid Yain Veshemen, Rishon Sheni Shlishi Revi. Says Yimar, no. The Tmei Nefesh that we're referring to is the Nebuch, the Nefesh himself, the Avi Avoisatoma, that Nebuch, person who passed away. And what happened with that Avi Avoisatoma? That Avi Avoisatoma touched lechem. So what would the lechem become now? Become an avatuma. The lechem touched the nozid. The nozid is going to become a rishon latuma. The nozid touches the yayin. The yayin will become a sheni latuma. The yayin will touch a shemen. The shemen will become a shlishi latuma. Oh, they knew the din of shlishi. They just didn't know the din of revi. And therefore Ravina says, the first pasuk he asked them a question of the gabeya revi, because we had the sheretz and the four food items. Here, however, we're talking about a mes atzmoi and the four food items. Look, the mes atzmoi is a biyavoisatuma, so the lechem is a avatuma, and then you only have rishon sheni and shlishi. So there, they knew the answer. It's not surprising that they knew the answer, because although they didn't have kodshim for 70 years, but they still had truma. Either they received it from Eretz Yisrael, or even in Chutz La'aretz, they continued to be Noheg Hilchas Truma, so that they shouldn't forget it. So they had Truma in Chutz La'aretz, and they knew that a Shlishi can become Tameh, but by Truma it doesn't go to Revi. So that's why they assume Kachim the same thing, it only goes to a Shlishi. So the first question, when he asked them about a Revi, and they said, Loi, Ishtabish Kahani, they made a mistake. The second person, we're talking about a Shlishi, they say, Yah, Shlishi, yo. There, they got the answer right. Toshima, let's go on to the next pasuk in Chagai. Vayan Chagai v'yoymar, what is the pasuk number 3? Vayan Chagai v'yoymar, kein ho'om hazeh, v'chein ha'goy hazeh, lefonai ni'um Hashem, v'chein kol ma'aseh yedeyem, v'ashe yakrivu sham tomehu. So this is a very strong pasuk where Chagai is giving Musar and Techocha to Klal Yisrael, and he's saying, this nation and this goy, again, this folk, they're before me. All the masi yedem asher yakrivu sham, all the kabbonis which they're being makriv in the base of English, chas v'sholem letomehu, they are tomeh. No, that's a strong statement. So zukti mar, toshima, v'yan chagai v'yoymar, ken hom hazeh v'chein ha'goy hazeh lefonai nu ma'ashem, and the pasuk ends off, asher yakrivu sham, tomehu, bishlam l'rav, hain d'chsev tomeh. Because we said, according to Rav, that the kehanim ishtabish, they made mistakes. That if they made mistakes, then that's why, unfortunately, kabbonis became tomeh. Of course, not everything, But it is Asheya Krivusham, among the things which are being brought in the base of English, Chas Shalom Tamihu, if a dead sheretz touches the case of the lechem, etc. And then the shemen, the Kahanim say, oh, the shemen is fine, that's perfect. No, no problem. The shemen is okay. After all, there's no dinner of Viva Kodesh. They're wrong. There is a dinner of Viva Kodesh. So that's why Chagai is saying, Kahanim, you messed up on the first test. You only got an F. You flunked. And that's the reason why, Chas Shalom, the Kabbanis are Tamei. El Shmuel, however, according to Shmuel, they answered perfectly. They scored 100 on each test. So, my Tamei, forget. Shmuel should go and say, you guys do a great job. Everything is going to be Biktusha V'Tahara. Says Igmar, Eina Chanami, it's Mui Kamatama. It is, in fact, a rhetorical question. Not that Chagai is giving them Teichoch and Musar, but rather he's extolling their praise and their virtues. And therefore the way you should understand the Pasuk is, V'yan Chagai, and Chagai said, wow, Kena Oma Zeh V'chena Goya Zeh L'fanai Niyom Hashem, V'chein Kol Masi Yedeim V'Sheh Ekrivu Sham, Tamehu, can you imagine that anything that's brought in the base of Midrash would be Tameh? Chas v'shalom, they are so expert. 70 years later, they answer the questions perfectly. Would you even imagine possibly Tameyu? Avadanisht. Pray Timura. That doesn't sound like the real pshat in the Pasuk. But v'chein kol ma'asi yedeyim k'sib. So Rashi says, had the Pasuk said, v'chi kol ma'asi yedeyim, v'ashe yakrivu sham Tameyu, then that v'chi you could interpret as a question. He's saying rhetorically, can you imagine that anything that they bring for a card would become Tame? But since it says V'chein, V'chein sounds like a positive statement, not a question, and therefore the Pasuk is telling us V'chein kol ma'asi yedeim v'ashe yakrivu sham Tameyu, that unfortunately we have Tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. So L'chayra v'ayta raya turav akasha Shmuel. Everything what Omar Zutu be saying with Rav Ashi b'Tosha Kilkulu Asmaseim Malale Makosav Kilu Hikrivu B'Tuma. So Rashi says this Mitosha Kilkulu is not something that already took place, but rather this is a prophecy in Avua of what will take place later on during the time period that the second Beis Hamikdash stood. That unfortunately Klal Yisrael began to and did sin. And therefore, even though at this time, in the time of Chagai, it didn't take place yet, but Chagai, after all, is a Navi. See, he's telling us Navu what's going to happen in the future, and he's saying that because of the Kilkul Maasim in the future, we look upon it as if already now the seeds of those sins are already germinating, they're already, you can already find them in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Avoida that's being done, unfortunately, is Avoida B'Tumah. So literally that was taking place Betumah, but in Nevuah he's saying that Malo Vakosiv, as if what they're doing now is all Betumah. And with this we conclude the fascinating account of the three Psukim and Chagai, and Chagai's testing the Kehan. So Gemara Gufa, Rav Tani Mashki Beis Mitbachaya, V'Levi Tani Mashki Bey Midbachaya. We touched on this already a little bit yesterday, and now we're going to expand upon this further. Now, what was this all about, this Bey Midbachaya? Midbachaya. So you remember we started off this whole sugya where we had yesterday about 6-7 lines from the top of the Amud. Reb Lozer Oimer Ein Tumah LaMashkin Kol Iker. We're going back into whether Mashkin can be Metame. First of all, can they be the recipients of Tumah? Can they be susceptible to Tumah min HaTorah? And whether they can be Metami other Ochlin Umashkin min HaTorah. So Reb Lozer said, Ain Tumah Mashkin Liker. Mashkin has no Tumah. In that Reb Lozer, we had the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. What was the Machlokes? The Rav says that Dochein Mamish, and Shmuel says no. What is the Dochein? So remember, Reb Lozer brought a Raya Teda. I'll show you that there's no tumah of mashkin min hatoyra. Sharei heyed Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer ish tzureida al el kamtsu dochein. That was a grasshopper. The al mashkin basement machaya dochein. That Yosi ben Yoezer ish tzureida said that the mashkin of the base mit bachaya. What means mit bachaya? That means from the base hatabochim. That's what we have in the, this week's Seder. Potifar was the Sar HaTabochim. Tabochim are the butchers. So when we're referring to Beis Mitbachai, we're referring to that portion of the Azara where they would go and take the Geshochtana Karbonois and they would work with the body. They would go and strip the body of the ur, of the skin, and they would cut into pieces. They would check out the organs. They would go and wash out the internal intestines to go and get out any schmutz. V'chuli v'chuli. So that was called the Beis Mitbachaya. The two major liquids at the Beis Mitbachaya were dam and mayim. Dam, the blood, whatever blood was remaining. That was normally, that was not the dam nefesh, because the dam nefesh they had already collected together, the Kahanim collected in the Mizrakim, or Mizrakois, and they were going to use it for Zrika on the Mizbeach. But therefore we're talking about either Dam Atamtzis, or we're talking about Dam Eivorim. In other words, any other Dam associated with the carbon, and that was rinsed off. And similarly, they had to go and rinse the Bnei Me'ayim, they needed water. So you had Dam, and you had Mayim. Those were the two major Mashkois in the basement B'chai. Said, Yoisi Ben Yez, Ish Tzureida, Dochen, they are tohoir. According to Rab, means they themselves don't have any tumah. In other words, sheretz and nevela can touch it and remains tohar. According to Shmuel, no, they themselves do become tameh, rather just not metameh tumah sacherim. They don't make other kabbanis tumah. That was if you learn the lashon of base mitbechay. But there was another girsa, mashkin base. Mid-Bechai. Mid-Bechai is from the Lashon Mizbeach, because the Dalet and the Zayin are Mischalef, they're interchangeable, and therefore it's Mizbeach. What are the Mashkin that you usually bring on the Mizbeach? So the two principal ones at this point that we're going to refer to are the Yayin and the Shemen. The wine, how do you have wine and Shemen? Wine you use for the Nisach HaYayin every day when they brought Kabbalahs, as well as Shemen was used in a Karban Mincha. Later on in today's Daf, we're going to go and expand, and we're going to say that Mitbechai includes not only the Yayin v'Shemen, but it also includes Dam and Mayim. Why? Because Dam also goes on the Mizbeach in the form of the Zrikois, and the Mayim goes on the Mizbeach, always Sukkot time, in the form of the Nisach HaMayim. Okay, but we're not up to that point yet. We're just preparing ourselves for a little bit further down the Daf. Anyway, so we have a difference between Mitbechai and Midbechai. Getting back to our Gemara Gufa, Rav Tani, Rav, when he learned this, the Hayid, Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzereida, that it's Dochein, that it's pure, it's not Tomei, that's Mashki Beis Mitbechai, and therefore referring specifically to the Dam and the Mayim in the Beis HaTabachim. But Levi Tana Mashki Beis Mitbechai, and he's principally referring to the Yayin, the Shemen, that's brought on the Mizbech. Good. So now, Freit Gemara, Levi. What is the Gemara's kasha? Why is the Gemara picking on Levi? Because the big problem with Levi. Levi is saying that the mashkois are bei mitbechai, which means the yayin and the shemen did not become tamei, if you learn like Rav, or they did become tamei, they're just not metamei acherim, if he's learning like Shmuel. We have a text in the Torah that discusses that. That's the first pasuk from Chagai. What does it say in Chagai? That what became Tameh? The Lechem, the Nozid, the Yayin, and the Shemen. Yayin and Shemen. Well, Yayin and Shemen, those are the Mashkois of the Bei Mitbechai. According to Rav, this whole Pasuk is perfect, because it's not talking about Dam. It's not talking about Mayim. It's about Yayin the Shemen. But according to Levi, Levi said that Yayin the Shemen are tohar, dochein. That's the pshat in Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer ish tzereida. If that's the case, how does the pasuk tell us the yayin v'shemen are becoming tamei if Levi holds they cannot even become tamei? It's hanicha lelevi hanicha isvir lekishmur the amad dochein mel tamei tumas achirim av tumas atzman yesh lehen mishkach eslo de nagi kula berishon. Says Gemara, if Levi learns like Shmuel, then we have no problem. Because what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that the mashkois that we're talking about, that Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer said, are dochein. Dochein means they themselves can become tamei. They're susceptible to becoming tamei. Dochein means they're just not metamei acherim. Oh, so the yayin v'shemen became tamei, and they just can't be metamei acherim, so that's fine. There's no problem. So all of these in the first pasuk all became tame. Well, what is this mishkachla nagi kula berishayim? What's this berishayim? So Rashi explains, no, I still got a problem over here, because if you're learning like Shmuel, and Shmuel learns, remember that they all did become tame, and they answered the question correctly. So what happens over here? The lechem touches the nozit. The notches touches the yayin. The yayin touches the shemen, and the shemen becomes tameh. The shemen becomes tameh. How can the shemen become tameh? Didn't you just go and tell me that yayin, which is a mashka, according to Shmuel, cannot be metameh achayrim? So, why, yayin touching shemen, shemen becoming tameh? Chuli, they can become tameh. Because the yayin, which is a mashka, be midbechaya, according to Levi, although Levi subscribes to Shmuel that it can get its own tumah, but how can it be metame acherim? How can it be metame the shemen? And the answer is because mishkachas or the nagi kulu berishayin. We're not talking about a situation where it touched in siriyadim. Rishon, Sheni, Shlish, Revi, but they all touched the original Avatumah. Now, we don't mean the first Pasuk over here, because the first Pasuk is correct. Why is the first Pasuk correct? Because, remember, the way Shmuel learned this first Pasuk, Chagai asked the Kehanim, is there such a thing of Chamishi Betumah? How do you get a Chamishi? Because we started off, remember, with the Avatumah, touching, that was the Sheretz, touched the knaf bigdoy, which became the rishoin. The lechem was three. Nozit is the revi. The yayin. No, I went too quickly. Again, we started with the basa kodesh, but knaf bigdoy. The basa kodesh was the avatum. The knaf bigdoy becomes the rishonatum. The lechem becomes a sheni. Nozit becomes a shlishi. Yayin becomes a revi. The question was, is the yayin metame the shemen? And the Kahanim said, no, because that's a Chamishi. Said Shmuel, lo yishtabish. They were correct. It only goes to Ravi. It doesn't go to Chamishi. So that pasuk is perfect. The Yayin Taka was not Mitame the Shemen, and that's consistent with what Shmuel's learning. That even though the Yayin itself has its own Tumah, it's susceptible to become Tumah, but it cannot be Mitame Achair. So that was fine. But let's go to the second pasuk. The second pasuk, we left out the additional step, because according to Shmuel, we had over here five altogether. We started with the Sheretz, and then we got Knaf Bigdoy. However, in the second pasuk is only talking about a Tamei Mes. Tamei Mes means that's the Avatumah, and then the Avatumah touched the Lechem, the Nozid, the Yayin, and then the Shemen, which means Rishon, Sheni, Shlish, Revi, and they answered correctly, yes, it becomes Tamei, says Shmuel, you see? They know their stuff. They said it becomes Tamei, because Revi, how did Revi become Tamei? After all, Yayin cannot go and be Metame, the Shemen, because it's Mashke Bei Mid Bechaya, according to Levi. So how did the Shemen become Tamei? And for the Gemara, the Nagi Kula Barishoin, that what happened was that you started off with the Avatumah. The Avatumah was the Tmei Mes. The Tmei Mes touched the Lechem, and the Lechem in turn, which was a Rishoin, touched the Nozid, the Yayin, and the Shemen. Or that it's a Oi Oi Ka'amar, that the Lechem touched either the Nozid, or the Yayin, or the Shemen. So it's not that it went consecutively or seriatim, that Lechem touched Nozin and Nozin touched Yayin, Yayin touched Shemen. No. Lechem touched all the other three. Or Oikamar. Either the Nozin or the Yayin or the Shemen. So you don't have a question of, you don't have a situation of Yayin being Metame Shemen. So that's why the Gemara says over here. Yeah.
Then you don't have a test.
No, if you want to know whether that becomes Tame,
that's
much easier.
Right?
Yeah, okay, so I guess if they wanted to test them first, let's ask them the easy questions and the more difficult questions.
That was the second question, so they started with the more difficult one. Okay, all right.
Good. Anyway, so let me ask you, like, when you have dachim el tam to masachei, and to masach me yesh lem mishkach, so the nagi kulu berishon. That's how the shemen became tamei in the second pasuk, and that's why they said yitma, and they answered correctly, because not that they touched each one, but rather they all touched the rishon. At least some like Rav. If Levi is going to hold like Rav, the Omar dachim mamish, Dochi mamish means that they're not even susceptible to being mekabel tuma. Heichem mishkachesla. So then this pasuk really is off the wall. What do you mean? Because according to Rav, and especially if Levi holds like Rav, that means mashke cannot even become tame. Mashke touches the sheretz. Madach, if the mashke touches the sheretz, it cannot become tame. Then if it touches the shlishi or the shiny, of course it cannot become tame. So how does it say in the pasuk that we're going from lechem to nozer to yayin to shemen? Not the shemen becomes tame, not the yayin becomes tame, because this idea, this concept doesn't even exist according to Rav. You couldn't ask a question of Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, because even the Yayin doesn't become a Shlishi. The Tumah would stop after Nozit. You're right. Mushman Jogan, that Levi holds like Shmuel, that Tumas Atzman Yesh Lehen, they just cannot be Metamei Achayrim. And that's why it would be possible for the Yayin and the Shemen theoretically to become Tamei. Okay, now let's focus on Shmuel for a moment. Uli Shmuel, Nevos Haut Shmuel. Shmuel that holds Loi Ishtabesh, that the Kahanim did not make a mistake. Hanichi Savolo Kerav, the Tani Mashki based Mitbachayim. If he learns like Rav, that the only Mashkois that Rabbi Yossi ben Ezer Ish Tzurei the set do not become Tamei, that's the Mashki based Mitbachayim, which is the Dam and the Mayim. Ava Mashki Bey Mitbachayim. But if you're talking about Mashki Bey Mitbachayim, which means the Yayin Veshemen, Achrini Nami Metame, then they can be Metame Achrini. Again, we're talking about Shmuel. If he holds like Rav, that learns that the Mashki base Mitbachaya, that's the Dam and the Mayim, those are the ones that cannot become Tomei according to Rav. And according to Shmuel, those are the ones that cannot be Metame Achrini. That works out fine, because the Pasuk is not talking about Dam and Mayim. The Pasuk is talking about Yayin Veshem. Ava Mashki Beit Mitbachaya, Achrini Nami Tami. Not only can they become Tamei, they can even be Matamei Acher, because there is no din of Dochein on the Mashki Bey Mitbachai. So they can be Matamei, so then that's fine. And in fact, it works very beautifully. That's why Shmuel says, Pshat in the first Pasuk is, Revi Hudaloy Ovid, it won't make Revi Hudaloy Ovid Chamishi, like they answered correctly, that Revi cannot cause a Chamishi. Remember, according to Shmuel, the Pasuk, the question was, Chamishi, because he asked about the sheretz touching the beged, and then the beged touching the lechem, the nose of the yayin, the shemen, that's already a chamishi. And they said, Loi, it doesn't become tamei. They answered correctly. Revi hudu lehav chamishi. Hashlishi ovid revi. But a shlishi can make a revi, because since these are mashki bey mitbachayim that have tumah and can be matami acherim, so then the question that was posed was an excellent question that Chagai asked. Chagai is asking, can you make a chamishi? No, you can't make chamishi. They answered correctly. Would you be able to make revi? Yeah, a vadik revi you could have. Elis over like a levi, if Shmuel holds like levi, the toni mashki bey mitbachayim. And therefore, according to Shmuel, according to Levi, Yoisi ben Yoezer ish tzureide, when he said that the Mashki Bey Midbachaya are all Tohar, the old Dochein, which includes Yayin B'Shemen, so my area revived the Loi Ovid Chamishi, Afilasheni Ushlishi, Nami Loi Avdi. Don't go and ask me about whether Yayin, which is a Revi, whether it can go make the Shemen into a Chamishi. And they answered, no. And Shmuel says, Lo Yishtabish, they answered correctly. I could have made a much simpler test and asked whether, if you had, for instance, the Lechem, which was a Rishon, touching the Yayin, and the Yayin becomes now a Sheni, can this Sheni now be Matame a Shlishi? Because, again, if you hold like Levi, so therefore, Yosi Ben Yezer is talking about Bashki Bey Midbachai, which is Yayin V'Shemen. Yayin V'Shemen, Levi holds like Shmuel, that they're susceptible to Tumah, but they cannot be Matami Acherim. So you don't have to ask about Yayin being Matami Shemen, because Yayin is a Revi, and it cannot be Matami a Shemen to make it into a Chamishi. Even if the Yayin was a Sheni or a Shlishi, it cannot be Matami the Shemen to make it into a Shlishi or a Revi. Because according to Levi, according to if Shmuel holds like Levi, then you cannot go and be metame. The yayin cannot be metame anything. It itself can become tame, but not be metame achrini. So why would he ask a question by Chamishi? He could even ask a question by Sheni Shlishi. I'll call the Rav Svirale. Mutnach Zogin that Shmuel Taka holds like Rav, the Gabi, this question of the Mitbachaya and the Midbachaya. That Shmuel holds like Rav, it's just the Dam and the Mayim which are not Metami Achrini. But Yayin and Shemen can be Metami Achrini because there was no halacha said about Yayin and Shemen, only about the Dam and the Mayim. So now, again, we had a machlokes between Rav and Levi, Mitbachaya. Mitbachaya, we're going to have two braises, one like Rav, one like Levi. Tani kevas is Rav, Tani kevas is Levi. Tani kevas is Levi. Hadam, v'hayayin, v'hashemen, v'hamayim, those four are mashki bei Mitbachaya. As I mentioned earlier, later in the blot, now we're here at the later in the blot, this price is going to define made mitbechaya, not just to refer to the yayin v'shemen, but to also refer to the dam and to the mayim, because each one of them has a connection to the mizbeach. Zokti Gemara, what about those four? Shenitmu befnim voitzian lachutz tohirin, nitmu bechutz vechnisim befnim tameim. What is Gemara all about? So we've constantly referred to the mashke bei mitbechaya, that it's dochein, that it's either according to Rav, that it's totally tar, or it's not metame achrini. Okay, but that's all because we're talking about the beis mitbechayim in the Azara, in the beis hamikdash. The reason why that's so special is because when any time we would have tumois midrabanon, that would only apply to outside Bambadina, but they didn't extend it to the Mikdash because we don't want Hefsid Kochim, we don't want Kochim to become Tomei and then to go and have to burn them and get rid of them. Aha. Okay, so says Gemara, what happens if you started with Mashke Bein Midbachai? Shenitmu Bifnim, they became Tomei Bifnim in the Azara. Good, so as long as they're still in the Azara, can they be Metamei Achrini? And the answer is no, because Dochein, they cannot be Metamei Achrini in the Beis HaMikdash. So if any of these four liquids become Tameh, they are Tameh, but they cannot go and be Metameh others. But Voitzin Lachutz, what happens if you took any one of these four outside after they already became Tameh Bifnim? Of course, as Rashi, they become Posel Biyotze. That goes without saying. But what happens if now if they were to go and touch any food items outside the Beis HaMikdash? Says Yimor Tahirin. You know why the Tahirin? Because the original Tumah inside was a very limited Tumah, that they themselves become Tameh, not even Tameh Achrini. So that stays with them, even though these four are now outside Bamedina, they still remained restricted to their original Havios and their original Tumah. And similarly, Nitmu Bachutz, what happens if before they came into the Beis HaMikdash, these four became Tameh Bachutz, like the Yayin, the Shem, and the Moshel became Tameh Bachutz? So at that point, they had the ability to go and be Metameh anything and everything in terms of macholim. Why? Because they're not yet mashki bei mitzbechai. They're not in the Beis HaMikdash yet. They're bechutz, and so therefore they can metame anything. Now bechlisim afnim, and now they were brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, and they are touching now kodshim. What's the halacha? Bechlisim afnim tameim. They themselves are tameh, and they can be metame achrini. Even though now they're in the Beis HaMikdash, they're in the Bei Midbachai. Yeah, but since originally when they were outside, their koyach hatumah was so potent that it can metame achrini. Even when it comes into the Beis HaMikdash, it can metame achrini. Any, I have a kasha on that. When Rav Shimon Levi mashki bei midbachaya loy omru dochein elabim koyman. That we said by mashki bei midbachaya atohar milatame achirim. That's only bim koyman inside the azara. My love lamute nitmu befnim voitzian lachutz. Doesn't that come to exclude the first case of this brisa that we just had now? That if it was originally tamei befnim and it went out bachutz, at this point, l'chayre it should be metame everything, because it's only bim koimon. So t'mor loy, l'mutei nitmu b'chutz v'chnisim b'fnim. It's coming to exclude the case number two. What do you mean case number two? The case number two where they became tamei b'chutz. And now v'chnisim b'fnim, and you brought them inside the Beis HaMikdash. Now it's metame everything. Frey t'mor, didn't you go and say that only if they're bim koimon? And here you're telling me nitmu b'chutz v'chnisim b'fnim. When do we say that they are dochein, meaning that they cannot be metame achrini? That's only if they're nitmu b'mekoyman, they became tame inside the bay mid b'chay. Then they remain forever and ever with the smaller potency of tuma, that they are tuma, they cannot be metame achrini, even if they come outside. However, if they started off outside, shaloi b'mekoyman, nitmu b'chutz, then b'chnisim v'fim, then they can go and be metame even achir. Anyway, what do I see from this braisa? That this braisa is focusing on mashki bay mid b'chayim. Well, that's how Levi learned, not like Rav. Tanya k'vosid derav. Rav says adam v'amayim. I'm sorry?
What Rav do with this? This is
shared
against.
Now we have a raya to Rav. That's the next braisa. Tani kavosi derav hadam v'amai mashki beis mit bechaya shenit mubein bekelim bein bekarka are tohoyrim. Why? Because that's Rav Shita, and that's this price that Yosi ben Yezer ish tzereda was not talking about mit bechaya. Was talking about mit bechaya. There, even though they are nitmu, they became tamei. But nevertheless, tohoyrim they cannot be metamei achirim. Anyway, so bottom line is what the so now. When it says shenitmu, according to Rav, even though shenitmu means they touched various shrotzim and the velis and all the rest, they don't really become tummy. That's why it's been became very tired. Nitmu means you try to make them tummy. This is according to Rav. Anyway, but what do I see from this? That Rav has a brace that learns like him. Levi has a brace that learns like him. So, like every time we have a machloikas tanoim, what's the pshat and yoisim and yeza ishtre? It's not only a machloikas between Rav and Levi, it's a machloikas between the two brace. How does Shmuel fit in? See, Morris said before that Shmuel has to learn like Rav and not like Levi.
Shmuel always said it doesn't transfer.
That's correct. And so there, Shmuel can learn this second braisa perfectly. Mashki beit mebachai shenitmu itakim became tamei. That's Shmuel, but maybe came from the karka to go mi metame. Other things to hoyrim it remains tor. It cannot be metame. Okay. Okay, so now we brought our two rayas to Levi and to Rav, but we're just finishing off this second braisa, which concludes now with Reb Shimon Oimer. It's not Rab and Shimon. Rab and Shimon would be Reb Shimon Gamliel, but here we're talking about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, which is just Reb Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Bekelim Temeim Bekarka Tohoyim. When we're talking about the Mayim, remember in the base Mitbachai we have Mayim and we have Dam. We're focusing now not on the dam, but on the mayim. If the mayim happens to be collected in kalim, they would have a din of tumah. Bekarka tohoyrim. However, if they are lying in the ground, then they are tohar. Now, Reb Shimon obviously disagrees with Rav, and he even disagrees with Shmuel. Reb Shimon holds that tumas mashkin is min hatoyra. Tumas mashkin is min hatoyra. It becomes tamei. As metami achrini, that's not midrabanan. It is min hatoyrim. So now, why does Reb Shimon distinguish between kalim and karka? So Rashi explains: if it's in kalim, it's regular water that became tamei. It is tamei. It can be metami achrim min hatoyrim. However, if you're talking about karka, meaning that you have water in the ground as opposed to a kli, then it's tohar. What's the reason why it's tohar? Says Rashi. Because min ha-toira, you don't need a mikvah of arboim sa'a to be metayer kalim. You only need 40 sa'a to be metayer odam. That being the case, all you need as a minimum shear of a mikvah to be metayer kalim would be a revius. Revius as much as you have in this cup, as much as you have in a cuss that you use Friday night for making kiddush. What would fit into that cup? The answer is you can go and fit in machten betzinorius. Machten means small needles or small little forks. Obviously in the cup it wouldn't become tohar because that's not a mikveh. But if it's in the ground, even though it didn't have 40 sa, it didn't have 20 sa, it just had a revius, that would be enough for a mikveh min hatoyr. However, Rashi brings from Gemara Masechtas Nozir, the Chum said, Agzeira, no. Just like Bnei Odom require 40 sa, even for Kalim, even a Machat, you also need 40 sa. But they only made that takana outside the Beis Hamikdash. Inside the Beis Hamikdash, they left it according to the original halacha, and that's why it says if you have Mayim in Karka, even though it's only Revias, it's tar, it is tar, and it can be mitaher other kelim.
So like when it rains, for example, and there's a pot, then that's mitah.
I mean, Torah, if you have a water puddle as a result of a rain that accumulated, then you could take machtam tzinoris and go and mitire them inside that puddle. And if the puddle is a really nice sized puddle, you can even go and be mitire in a frying pan or a plate or cutlery or anything like that. That's min haTorah, not midrabanan. Amar Rav Papa, we're going to come back to the Pshimin in another 10, 12 lines of Mirat Hashem. In the meantime, Amar Rav Papa. Afilaman di Yomatumas Mashkin di Araisa, Mashki base mitbachaye, Hilchasa Gemirila. Now Rav Papa is saying something which is totally out of left field and is not consistent with anything that we've been learning until now. Because until now we've been saying that there's a difference between the Mashkim inside the Mesa Mignish and the Mashkin outside the Mesa Mignish. When you hear that there's a difference between inside and outside, automatically registers in your mind that this Tumah must be a Drabanan Dikatumah. Because if something is Diaraisa, then it's Tumah everywhere, or Tahar everywhere. How do you distinguish between Medina and Beis Hamikdash? Ah, must be that the Rabbanan made a special Takana, a special Gzeira. And they only made the Takana outside the Beis Hamikdash, not inside the Beis Hamikdash. Why not inside the Beis Hamikdash? Number one, because of Hefsid Kodshim. You don't want to lose precious Kabbanis. Number two, perhaps Kahanim's reasoning. So you rely on their expertise, even though Chagai, as you saw, wasn't so sure. That's why you had to ask them the questions. Anyway, the point is that there's a distinction between Beis Mitbachaya, Mitbachaya, and outside the Beis Hamikdash, because it's Terabon. Rav Papa says, no. Tumas Mashkin is min haTorah. Aye, you're saying that the Beis Mitbachaya is Dochein. Aye, that's not Mekabel Tumah itself. Or it's not Metami Acherim. You just said that it's Mashkin is Tumi Medaraisa. The Halacha Mashina was that inside the Beis Hamikdash is different than outside the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara is not happy with this, and the Gemara asks now two shtark kashas, and ultimately we fall away from this rapapa. We had this rablaza at the beginning of the sugi yesterday. No such thing as tumal mashkin. Bring your raya. Shari heyid. Rib Yosi ben Yezish. Tzareid al mashkin basement. Bachaya dochein. Aha. So what's the raya from that? Rib Yosi ben Yezir. He's saying since inside the Beis Hamikdash, the Mashke, the Beit Mishmachai, is Tohar, either like Rav says, totally Tohar, or like Shmuel, it's not Matami Acherim, but that's inside the Beis Hamikdash. Is the Charayis, is Reb Lozer, that there is no Tumas Mashkin Min HaTorah anywhere? Ain't Tumas Mashkin called Iker? Because if there would be a Tumas Mashkin outside the Beis Hamikdash Min HaTorah, then there would have to be a Tumas Mashkin in the Beis Hamikdash Min HaTorah. In the Torah, you can't go and make half rules for outside and inside the Beis Hamikdash. However, midrabanan, then I understand. So there is taka no tumas mashkin kalikah min haTorah. There is midrabanan, but midrabanan only outside and not inside. If you tell me it's halacha Moshe v'Sinai, migamrina mina. How is Reb Lozer trying to learn from the din of Reb Yosi Ish Ben Yehazi Ish Tzareida that there is no din of tumas mashkin min haTorah? There is tumas mashkin min haTorah. The reason why it's tar in the Beis Hamikdash, because that's the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So that's kasha number one. Kasha number two, amalei Ravina l'Ravashi, v'Rav Shimon d'yama tumas mashkin d'araisa, the Rav Shimon that we had at the very top of the yom. He was tumas mashkin, is min haTorah. This sign, you like we learned 2 days ago, Rav Yoyis, Rav Shimon, oimrim la'kevim tohirim li'oichlin t'meyin, that the tumas mashkin is such that if the mashkin spritzed on kalim, they are tar. If it spritzed on oichlin, they are tamei. Aha. And v'hachak omar, and here Reb Shimon said at the top of the yomid, bekalim tamein, bekarka tahoirin, that it depends on the water. If the water that spritzed came out of kalim, it's matam. If it was in the karka, it's tahar. The reason why we made a distinction between kalim and karka, as we said before, because min haTorah really, the karka is tahar everywhere, even outside the Beis Hamikdash. The reason why today outside the Beis Hamikdash, water bekarka can become tamei, but not in the Beis Hamikdash, because originally the halacha was as long as you had a revias, it was already a full-fledged mikvah for taharas kelim. Really, theoretically, in principle, it's even a mikvah for taharas odom. It's just most people cannot fit within a revias of water. However, if they would be able to, that's fine. The whole thing that you need 40 saw is based on the pasuk.
The average person.
The pasuk says that eskol b'sorei, and the Gemara dash is what means eskol b'sorei. Mayim shekol gufay oile behen, that water in which the entire mass of the person's body can fit in it. So that's the typical average person, we say, is Am al Amma Baroim Shalish Amis, 3 cubic amis, 1 by 1 by 3, and that's 40 sa. But in fact, if you had a midget, if you had a child, you had a baby, you don't need 40 sa according to this learning. It says, oh, midrabanan, say you have to have 40. So that, the rabbanan, is outside the Beis Midrash. But inside the Beis Midrash, they kept it according to its original halacha, so any water in the karka, all of that is tohar and is not susceptible to tumah. But that's only if you say it's a drabbanan. V'ilchasihi, if you're telling me it's halach l'moshe v'sinai, why are you telling me by kelim is tameim, bekarka is tohirim, mali bekelim, mali bekarka? Halach l'moshe v'sinai didn't make those distinctions. So Tumor Kash is takashvir and rapapa, and therefore that rapapa said, that mashki beit mitpachai is halach l'moshe v'sinai, says the Gemara, dus is a shvir ezach. Nushtikl, omer rapapa. Now rapapa is now analyzing what we spoke about, Reb Shimon, the Bekelim Tmeim, Bekarka Tohirim. Omra Papa, Hodi Amas Bekarka Tohirim, Leishonu Elamayim. We're talking about water. Avadam Loi. Umayim Nami Loi Amorna Elid Havi Revias. It had to have a minimum of Revias. The Chazal Hapil Bey, the Machtim Etzenoiris. Avleya Revias is Tmeim. So again, Reb Shimon at the top of the Omid said that if you find water, the base mit Bechaya, if the water is Bekelim, it is susceptible to Tumah. And it can be metami achirim, but if it's bekarka, if it's in a puddle, tohirim, says the Gemara. Reb Shimon's talking about mashkin bei mitbechaya. He could have been speaking about mayim and dam, which are both from the base mitbechaya. Says Reb Papa, no. He was only referring to mayim, he's not referring to dam. And that he said that the karka tohirim is because it had at least the shear of a revias, which mena tohira is enough for a mikvah. So madach, it's enough to be metair achirim, then it certainly is not susceptible to becoming tame. But if it was less than a revias, since it cannot be metair achirim, it can't be metame, the kelim machtim tinoiris, so therefore it can receive tuma after all. So therefore that's just, if you will, an elucidation of Reb Shimon at the top when he said, bekarka tohirim, we're only talking about mayim, and it's got to be a minimum of a revias. Amaman, Rabbi Yehuda Oimel HaKoyl Tameh. I don't remember this, Rabbi Yehuda HaKoyl Tameh. You don't remember it because we didn't have it today. We did have it at the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph on the third line, that if you had Suffolk Mashkin, said Rabbi Yehuda, it's Matameh, everything. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mashkin has a din of Tumah Min HaTorah, both for itself, as well as to transmit Tumah to others. So Amarav, Amama, Rabbi Yehuda, Oim Lechol Tomei. Remember the sub Rabbi Yehuda, Tomei Smashkin, the Tomei Tomei Skelem, the Arayis, like we just said. Azoi, Freyti Mor Batanan. Kol HaKelem Shiyesh Len Achoyrayim V'Toich, Kigoyin HaKarim V'Akastois, V'Asakin V'Hamar Tzufin, Nit Matoicha, Nit Magabay, Nit Magabay, Nit Matoichoi. What is this all about? There are certain Kelem that have both an Achoyrayim V'Toich. Now, what's an acharayim v'toich? You have, this may be still wet, so let me take, no, that's the only one we got here. Okay, this is a...
Still water in that.
No, that's not a good one. It does have water, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to be careful. This is a kli. Kli, obviously it has a toich. Toich means that you can go put water in the kli. That's why it's wet inside. Were we to go and turn it over, notice on the bottom, it's also indented. You could go and make yourself
A little tea,
or a little coffee, or a little bit of water. Obviously, if you push this in a little bit more, then you'd be able to make a larger. Right? You can go buy those fancy coffees, a cappuccino, right? The smaller the amount, then the more expensive. So put a cappuccino on this side.
No, it's usually an espresso.
I meant express. Express. I don't go to Starbucks. I don't do that. I get one jar of coffee for $12 and make 250 coffees out of it. I don't go and pay for each coffee $12.
That's not coffee. That's $5 a cup.
Okay. So you see already. Anyway, so the point is, this has a toich and it has also what's called migabai. In other words, it has a back. Now, the reason why I like this cup, because this one doesn't have anything. Right. It would be to make an espresso here. It wouldn't work.
No, here you could charge more.
Return. Exactly. Uri, I'm glad you're here today. Okay, so anyway. So tonight, we learned in the Mishnah called Kelim Sheishlam Achrayim B'Toich. Toich is the inside, Achrayim is the back of it, where it also has a clay kibble on the bottom. Keep going. Now the Gemara goes away from Kelim that we think of in terms of drinking, but keep going. Karim Vakastis, Vasakin, Vamatsufin, Karim and Kastois, those are pillowcases or sheets, or Sakin, sacks. Matsufin is a different type of sacks, like a canteen. All of these, you could go and put things in one side, and you could put things in the other side, and so therefore it is multitask, utility, both from the Toich and from the Acharai, both from the inside and from the exterior, from the backside. Sizimar. Because of that, Nitma Toich, Nitma Gabai, Loi Nitma Toich. If the Toich becomes Tamei, then the Gabai becomes Tamei. After all, the principal usage of the Kli is the Toich, not the Gabai, not the exterior. Therefore, the Gabai is secondary to the Toich. So if the Toich, if a Sheretz touched the top of it, the inside, let's say it's a Kli Cheres, goes inside, so this the inside becomes Tamei, and the bottom also becomes Tamei because it's an annex, it's secondary to the Toich. But Nitma Gabai, if the back became Tamei, like Nitma Toich, the Toich does not become Tamei. That's only if the tumah was machmas mashkin. Like Rabbi Yehuda holds the mashkin can be metame. How did the mashkin become tame? The Moshe the mashkin became tame through a nevela, through a sheretz. Nitma machmas sheretz. If the sheretz was what was metame, nitma toicha, nitma gabai, nitma gabai, nitma toicha. Then it goes in both directions, both the toich and the gabai. Everything is tame. Why are you distinguishing between whether the mashkin touched the gabay? Remember, if mashkin or sheretz touched the toichoy, the entire kli becomes tamei. If, however, the mashkin touched gabay, it does not metame toichoi, while if the sheretz touches gabai, it is metame toichoi. You just said that according to Behuda, the din of mashkin is diaraisa, which means it's tame just like sheretz is metame midiraisa. So if sheretz is metame both gabai and toichoi, why don't you say by mashkin that it's also metame both gabai and toichoi? We so gedai to tumas mashkin that time he came with the arise. Mali tam nitma machmas mashkin that if nitma gabai, nitma toichoi, mali nitma. I'm sorry, my mashkin that nitma gabai loy nitma toichoi, mali nitma machmas sheretz. Where if it's matame gabai, it's also matame toichoi. I'm if you know Mishmul, Chozabay Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Taka changed his mind. And originally he thought in one direction, and then afterwards he changed his mind and he said, no, it's an ishtazai. So in other words, that we learned at the beginning of this sugya, that Rabbi Yehuda says, la koil tomei, and therefore tumas mashkin the tamei, tumas kelim is the araisa, across the board. No, that was originally. But after that, he taka changed his mind and he agreed that tumas mashkin is not as intense a tumma like the tumma sheretz, for instance. Ravina Omar loy 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 hold that. No, he didn't change his mind. Habe mashkin a boy machmas yidai, but mashkin a boy machmas sheretz. It's two different types of mashkin. In other words, the mashkin itself didn't become tamei just because it's mashkin. If I have water and I pour it out of one of these Polish spring bottled waters, it doesn't become tamei. How does it become tamei? It becomes tamei because there is a tumah that touched it. So if a dead sheretz touches it, a nevela touches it, then it becomes mamish tamei. What happens if stam yidai means my unclean hands touch the water? Then it becomes tamei midrabanan, because all yidaim have a tumah midrabanan. One of the Yud Chesdova that we learned at the beginning of Masechtas Shabbos. Aha. So if the mashkin became supercharged tummy because it touched the sheretz, then it's metameh across the board, kol davar, and it'll be metameh takagabay metoicha metalis. That that we said in that Mishnah that Behuda said, that mashkin was a mashkin that became tamei machmas yadayim, which is derabanan, and that's why we distinguish between gaboy and taicha. Frank Timara, he hachi adatani medvar murim shenit machmas mashkin. Living listen to the da. So Timara now asks an obvious question. Remember, how did Behuda start off? The reason why the mashkin are only metame toichoi, and if they touched gaboy, loinitma toichoi, said Rabbi Yehuda, because we're talking about mashkin shenitmu. Aval nitmu machmas sheretz, if the tumor is a sheretz, then even gaboy would be metame the toichoi. Frankly, why do you have to go from mashkin to sheretz? Why don't you just go mashkin machmas yadayim to mashkin machmas sheretz and say, ada telimedamur, shenitmu machmas mashkin? When do I say that if nitma gaboy loy nitma toichoy, then mashkin aboy machmas yadayim, aber mashkin aboy machmas sheretz, nitma toichoy, nitma gaboy, nitma gaboy, nitma toichoy? That would be much, much more understandable because we're distinguishing in mashkin itself. Says, well, you're right, we have to go back to our original pshat that Chozaboy Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Tak originally said that mashkin are metame everything, min ha-toira. No, the answer is he does not hold that way because afterwards he changed his mind and he said that mashkin is metame midrabanan, since it's metame midrabanan, only if it's metame toichoy, metame gaboy, but if it's metame gaboy, it's not metame toichoy. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai, and we'll continue boy lehom yachem tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.